You're listening to a podcast on Money Control.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Prakhar Sachdev and you are tuned in to On The Ball, our podcast for top sporting events across the world. Today I have with me an author, a screenwriter and an anchor. As a cricket writer, he has penned the biographies of Sunil Gavaskar, Rahul Dravid and the god of cricket, Sachin Tendulkar. I am pleased to welcome on the show Devendra Prabhudesai for the first episode of On The Ball. Good to have you on the show, sir.
Thank you, Prakhar. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
So, starting with your latest book, The Trail of Cricket's Holy Grail. It's an extremely insightful book in which the reader gets tidbits and trivias about cricket's showpiece event, the Cricket World Cup, in a very few and concise words. Sir, can you tell me more about the book and what made you compile these facts?
Well, it is The Trail of Cricket's Holy Grail is an attempt on my part to tell the story of the previous 11 World Cups that have been played so far, and also a kind of a preview of the 12th World Cup, which will get underway on 30th May 2019. The idea is to challenge cricket lovers as far as their knowledge of the World Cup is concerned. So the book comprises as many as 120 questions related to the first 11 World Cups. There is a quiz section. So there is one section dedicated to each of the 11 World Cups played so far. Then there is basic information on the top scorer, top wicket taker of each of the 11 World Cups, as well as the profiles of the 50 best matches to have been played in the World Cup from 1975 to 2015. So all in all, it is the ideal package for any cricket lover in the lead up to the showpiece event of the game. And it is a very slim volume, so it will not intimidate the reader. It will entertain the reader.
Sure, that's interesting. You have written biographies of Indian stalwarts Sunil Gavaskar, Rahul Dravid and Sachin Tendulkar. Which of these books was the most challenging biography that you worked on?
I think each of the books had a unique challenge of its own. My first biography was that of Rahul Dravid. It was called The Nice Guy Who Finished First. It was written originally in 2005. And coincidentally, days after the book was released, Rahul was appointed captain of India. Rahul was very much an active cricketer when this book came out. And so the challenge was to ensure that his story is told in an enlightening as well as entertaining way to the readers. The Gavaskar book, SMG, which I wrote in 2009, was challenging in the sense that he played in the pre-digital era. So I had to actually go to newspaper archives for the research bit. I had to actually dig out from archives of the Times of India, Hindustan Times, Indian Express to be able to tell that story and tell that story in the best possible way. Interviewing people who had grown up with him, played with and against him. That was a challenge, but it was a challenge that I loved. And then, as far as Sachin was concerned, my book on him, Hero, that was released in 2017. Now, with Sachin's book, the challenge was, what do I tell the world that it doesn't already know about Sachin Tendulkar? So, coming up with perspectives, coming up with my take on certain events from his career, that was a challenge. But all in all, I have enjoyed writing those three books. And I have reason to believe that all three books of mine could easily pass off as histories of Indian cricket of those eras. My book on Mr. Gavaskar, SMG, could be treated as a history of Indian cricket of the 1970s and 80s. And the same applies to Sachin Tendulkar as far as the 1990s and the first decade and a half of the new millennium is concerned. Because cricket is a team game and you cannot write about cricketers in isolation. So Sunil Gavaskar's story is as much Kapil Dev's story as it is his. And Sachin Tendulkar's story or Rahul Dravid's story is as much the story of Saurav Ganguly, VVS Lakshman, Virender Sehwag and the others. So it has been a great ride and something that I have immensely enjoyed. And I hope the readers have also enjoyed themselves while reading my books.
And if I ask you to rate the three batsmen that you have penned the books on, Gavaskar, Dravid and Tendulkar, how you will rate them?
I don't mean to be diplomatic, but it is hard to compare firstly cricketers who have played in different generations and who have specialized at different numbers. So it's very hard to make that comparison. I think we could just leave it by saying that they would have been a champion in any era that they would have played in.
Okay, shifting our focus from books to the on-field action. What about the upcoming World Cup? And talking about the format of the World Cup, it is a 10-nation format, but considering that the numbers have dramatically reduced, so what's your take on the format?
Yeah, it is a situation where there is a pro and a con in it. One can understand where the ICC is coming from, because obviously the last three World Cups there was a lot of criticism for some of the matches which were perceived as meaningless because they involved newcomers and they turned out to be one-sided. So one understands the ICC's desire to promote quality over quantity. But at the same time, I feel that there should have been scope for maybe one or two of the newcomers to participate in the World Cup, because honestly that acts as an incentive that, you know, if you do well in the second string tournaments, the big the big prize is a spot in the World Cup. I understand that West Indies also is a team, I mean a former world champion, they also had to come through a qualifying tournament, a World Cup qualifier. But yeah, I feel that maybe they should have had maybe two more teams, 12 teams, two groups of six each would have been ideal, I feel. But yeah, I mean 10 teams, it's a format where each team plays the other nine. It allows teams that maybe start poorly to come back into the tournament. So it gives you a lot of scope to come back. And indeed, we have seen it happening once where, you know, a team peaked at the right time. There is a positive, there's a plus and a minus. Plus is that, yes, I think quality will be there. But maybe they should have found space for two more teams to participate in the World Cup.
What about the viewers' point of view? Will it interest or will they be burdened with some meaningless matches? How will viewers take?
I think the number of so-called meaningless matches will come down drastically, because you have the top 10 teams. So, as I said, quality will hopefully, you know, be there, and quality will not be sacrificed for quantity. I think we are in for some exciting cricket.
Okay, talking about teams, I'm curious about the West Indies squad. Are they a team to beat in this World Cup, considering the amount of talent they have?
The West Indies could well be considered as a dark horse, because, you know, we all know that there are problems. They are not the force that they were. But if you look at the recent past, the fact that they won the ICC World T20 in 2016 and their junior side won the Under-19 World Cup in the same year, 2016, that cannot be ruled out. So yes, a very dangerous side, and we know what players like Chris Gayle and Andre Russell are capable of. They have some good players. But I feel that the team that, in my opinion, looks best placed to go the distance is the host nation, England. Because, you know, for a good team, what do you want? You want an explosive opening pair. You want a solid middle order, which is capable of, you know, attacking whenever needed. You have a wicket-keeping all-rounder. You have a genuine all-rounder who's also a pace bowler. I think England tick all the boxes. So I think they would probably be, I would say that they are among the leading contenders for the title.
What about Pakistan? Will the English conditions and the team landing in England way before many other teams work in their favor? Will the team pose a strong challenge to other teams, other nine teams?
Yeah, the last time we had a World Cup which did not have groups and where each team played the others in the fray, which was in 1992, was won by Pakistan. It will be foolish to write off a team like Pakistan, because they have this knack of peaking at the right time. If they stick to the basics and they bowl, bat and field well, Pakistan has a genuine chance.
What about India's chances of bringing the World Cup home?
I think Virat Kohli and Jasprit Bumrah will be our two main players. And of course, we have some outstanding players other than them. Rohit and Shikhar make for a great opening pair. Mahendra Singh Dhoni, I guess, will play that stayers role in the middle order at number 4. There is a lot of discussion on different number 4s. I think Mahendra Singh Dhoni would do that job. And we have two very good spinners in Kuldeep Yadav and Chahal. Good fast bowlers as well. I think Kohli and Bumrah will hold the key to India's fortunes.
Okay, so if I have to ask you to pick a player of the tournament, right, just 13 days before the World Cup, so who will be your pick?
Well, as an Indian, I would say Virat Kohli, because
scoring four centuries.
Yeah, he's the captain, the best batsman in the world, and he's a very determined man. So if he sets his heart on something, he will go flat out to achieve it. Another player who I think might just make a huge impact is Ben Stokes of England.
Okay. So what are your four picks for the semi-final slots?
I think India, Australia, England and the West Indies. I would go with that. Australia also, they have had their share of problems. But Warner and Steve Smith are back. Mitchell Starc is back. Mitchell Starc was the player of the 2015 World Cup. So, and Australia, of course, a five-time champion should never be written off. So you never know what Australia can do. And England, as I said, England are the front runners. Coincidentally, the last time England went into a World Cup as one of the front runners was in 1992. And you know, that was the last World Cup before the 2019 World Cup where you did not have groups. That World Cup, England were on a roll, but then Pakistan just peaked at the right time and England lost in the final. So, but my pick would be Australia, India, England and the West Indies.
So, of all the four teams in the semi-final, which of these four teams will take the cricket's holy grail back to their country?
Difficult to say, because after the semi-finals, it's how you do on the given day. As an Indian, I would obviously want India to win and, you know, win the World Cup for the third time. So let's hope for the best and let's hope that Virat and boys get the cup home.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much for your insights on your books, on the work that you have done and on the upcoming World Cup.
Thank you, Prakhar. Thank you very much.
With that, it's a wrap on this episode of On The Ball podcast. For more views and news and updates, stay logged on to moneycontrol.com. Thanks for listening.